from in this building and beyond. God says, turn to me with all your heart. Not halfway. He says, all your heart. God is asking for the whole. Amen? And what does it say? Turn to me with all your heart, with fastings. Amen. You see, I have come across great preachers. I've known, I've sat under their feet, who don't even believe in fasting. God bless them regardless. But this is what the word of God says. Are we going to believe the word of God? Are we? I need some response here. Amen. Well, at least my wife does. Are we going to believe the word of God? It says with fastings, with weepings, and with mourning. That is, the intention is that you want it so much. You want to turn to God, and you want to turn to God with fasting. You want God so much that you weep for God, that you mourn for God. So therefore, don't take it just as routine, but rend your heart. There's got to be a changing of the heart and not your garment. You see, in the olden times, when people are mourning or when people are fasting or when people are looking for God so much, they rent their hearts and they rent their garments. And sometimes you see they walk in sackcloth to tell you that they don't want to put on good clothes no more. They want God so much. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he will relent from doing harm. That means God will keep harm away from you. He is a merciful God and gracious God. That means that even if you have missed the mark in the previous years, you are starting new. And God is slow to anger means he is giving you a lot of chances, a lot of time. He's not coming to clobber on you and say, you did this, so you're going to go to hell, or I'm going to go to you to die. No, he's not going to do that. He said, I'm going to give you time, but I want you to return to me with fastings, with weepings, and with mournings. Hallelujah. So, why should we fast and pray? We're not looking at fasting as a discipline. We're looking at fasting as releasing more spiritual power. Why should we fast and pray? You see, on the 4th of January, 2020, hear it, 4th of January, 2020 was the first time this church engaged in the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I've checked my notes, so I know that. At that time, I was reading a book by Apostle Guillermo Maldonado, and the title is Breakthrough Fasting. And it touched my heart, some of the scriptures that he was bringing to my mind and some of the things that he was saying. At a time, I had no idea. We had no idea what was coming over this nation and the nations of this world. This is what I wrote as an introduction to the guideline for the prayer and fasting at the time. I've checked this out. I wrote, the start of a new year is an opportunity for us to align our lives to God's will and purpose so that we can see his purpose and his blessings. We are living in such dark times. If we do not start the year with prayer and fasting, we will not be prepared to overcome adversity. That was 2 years ago. Did I know what was coming? No. Did the apostle know? I don't know. As I said, some of the things that he wrote touched my heart. And for that reason, we have to be prepared to overcome adversities. We did the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Probably we did not know what to expect. 2 months after that, and 2 months after we've ended the prayer and fasting time, I believe we finished it on the 25th or so of January, 2020. After we've completed our 21 days of prayer and fasting, this country went into a lockdown. Do you remember that? 22nd March, 2020. And that was to last for 6 months. We've never seen anything like that before. We read things like that in the Bible. But we went to 6 months lockdown. It was a harrowing moment. It was a worrying moment. Many people died. I need to remind you, because if I don't remind you, you'll forget so soon. And the Bible always says that remember, 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 so that you don't forget and learn something from it. The whole world was attacked by a wicked and evil virus, which we now know its name as COVID-19 coronavirus. At that time, we did not even have a solution. Forget about all the people who are saying it came from this, came from that. That is not what we are interested in. Something did happen. We saw the result. And some of you have lost loved ones as a result of that. Did we as a church anticipate it? The answer was no. Were we spiritually prepared as a church? The answer is yes. The 21 days of prayer and fasting prepare us as a church community. And as your leader, I was so prepared. I became so bold, so confident in my God at the time that I never even understood. I saw many Christians falling apart, running away. They even thought I brought coronavirus to this world because I was not falling apart. The boldness that I had came from the fact that I was prepared spiritually for any adversity. And some of you were prepared spiritually for any adversity. But those who were not prepared, some of them are even now in their rooms, not even going to church. So we're having 21 days of prayer and fasting again. And I just want you to know it's going to prepare you spiritually and make you spiritually powerful so that you'll be ready to face any adversities. It's going to make you powerful to be able to have breakthroughs, to be able to go through things. Things that are impossible to shift is going to shift. For me, because we align our will with the purpose of God, we were able to go through. And sometimes when I say I have no fear, people think I'm so boastful. No, I'm not. I actually have no fear about the virus or anything, simply because my focus, my will is in line with God's purpose. Hallelujah. And anyone who will focus on God during these 21 days of prayer and fasting, you will see that fear will go away. You will see that anxiety will go away. Most of our reactions are as a result of fear, fear, fear. And I was so disappointed in many Christians because they were so afraid. But then we are not supposed to be afraid. Because out of the 21 days of prayer and fasting, God said, no soul will be lost in this church. And I remember the Wednesday before we went on the lockdown and the Sunday before we went on the lockdown, I told this church that no soul will be lost in this church. That saith the Lord. And no soul was lost in this church. Amen. Amen. That was born out of 21 days of fasting. Did we anticipate it? No. Were we spiritually prepared? Yes. So this 21 days of prayer and fasting is going to spiritually prepare you. We are not going through a discipline, but we're going to go through a spiritual thing that is going to actually move us to another level. On New Year's Eve, I was preaching, and I was saying that whenever the new is coming in the scriptures, what happens is that the Spirit of God overshadows people, or somehow along the line, another way to put it is that the Holy Spirit finds a resting place in someone's life. So if you allow the Holy Spirit to find a resting place in your life, then the new will come. And I told them when the dove flew from the hands of Noah and found a resting place, did not come. And God knew, and Noah knew that something new has come, that the new has come. And God said, never again will I destroy the world with flood, but I'm going to make an irrevocable covenant with you. Promise. And this is the sign. The sign is the rainbow to cover every eventuality that what I've said is true. And I told you about Mary, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The Holy Spirit found a resting place. And when he found a resting place, what it did was that the new had come, that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he will move in the might of God. He'll be the mighty God. And he brought a supernatural ministry. into this world. He preached the gospel. He taught the people scripture. He healed the sick. He cast out demons and he set the oppressed free. That's what Jesus Christ did. But most of us as a church, we've forgotten about everything apart from preaching and teaching. And the rest we think, oh, that's for the Pentecostals. Oh, that's for the charismatic. That's for this people. No, that is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. In order for me to digress too much, I want to talk about prayer and fasting. You see, so what is fasting? Fasting is the voluntary abstaining or voluntarily abstaining ourselves from eating solid or liquid foods or both for the sole purpose of seeking God's face and deepening our relationship with Him. You'll find this in our prayer guidelines, because most of the things that I'm teaching you today, I'm picking it from our prayer guidelines, 21 days of prayer guidelines. Check our church website, or if you receive our daily devotion, it will give you a link to it. So most of these things are there, but I need to remind you so that when you are reading it, it doesn't become a ritual for you. Now, for the sole purpose of seeking God's face and deepening our relationship with Him, that is fasting. Voluntarily abstaining from solid or liquid food, or both, for the sole purpose of that. Fasting produces a deeper intimacy with God. Fasting without seeking God is literally to starve ourselves. If you are not going with solid food, if you are not going with liquid food, and if you are not seeking the face of God, you're only starving yourself. We are not using fasting as a weight loss regime or program. Of course, you will lose some weight if you're doing it properly. But I want you to know that God wants us to fast, to bring a deeper intimacy, closeness with God. Fasting allows us to surrender our flesh and purify our physical body. You give your body a break from eating, right? Every now and then you got to service a car. Every now and then you have to switch off the engine. Every now and then you have to defrost your fridge or your freezer. Isn't that true? That is what fasting does. Why are you defrosting your fridge? Because there's too many ice in it that you don't want, or too many impurities in that you don't want. And that is why you are doing that. Why do you steam clean? Because there's so much dirt in there that you have to get rid of it. Fasting literally gives our bodies a break so that a whole lot of things can come out. Amen? Am I teaching you something? Okay, the few, yes, the lot too. I'm sure they are coming along. You see, the combination of fasting and prayer breaks down every impediment to accessing God's presence in order to have a communication or communion with Him. You see, when we add prayer to fasting, it breaks every obstacle, every stumbling block that prevents us from accessing God. That means reaching out to God's presence or bringing God's presence to us in order to have communion, fellowship with Him. Now let's look at the link between intimacy or relationship and power. Because our topic is spiritual power of fasting. So we have to look at the relationship here. There's a link. The purpose of fasting is to seek God wholeheartedly. Through prayer and intimacy, that means close relationship. The purpose of fasting is to seek God wholeheartedly with all our hearts through prayer and intimacy. It is easy for us to get on as Christians. Automatic, we are praying, we're going. We're doing this, we're going. And sometimes we think fasting is for certain type of Christians. No. Maybe for certain types of pastors. No. Fasting is for every believer. Hear me out. Fasting is for every believer. Jesus Christ Himself showed us the way. So if you're a Christian and you're not taking time to fast, as I always say, which Jesus are you following? You tell me. So don't let your theology cloud your mind about the truth of God. Don't let your denomination cloud your mind about the truth of God. Don't let your mind tell you something else contrary to the truth of the word of God. If it does, then you are being rebellious. You can't obey the word of God. Many people, and even Christians, are oppressed. Hear it again. Many people, even Christians, are oppressed, afflicted. They are sick. They are depressed. They are afraid. Honestly, in the last 2 years, I haven't seen Christians so afraid. It shocks me. I'm sure it disturbs the heart of God. And the reason is that they don't have intimacy with God. They are Christians by name. They're not seeking to get close to God. We started a year, and I'm being radical, and provoking. I have to be, because otherwise you stay where you are, and you don't move on. You don't get no reward for being very nice Christians all your life, you know. They are afraid and lonely, and they wonder, where is the power to overcome these conditions of affliction, oppression, of sickness, of depression, of fear and loneliness? Where is the power to overcome these things? Where is it coming from? Where is the power coming from to overcome these things? The answer is simple. God only gives his power to those who have a relationship with him. I repeat that. God only gives his power to those who have a relationship with him. If you don't know God intimately, you don't have no power. And as I always say, powerless Christians are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. Hear it again. Powerless Christians are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. You are a Christian, all right. You go to heaven, all right. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, to literally pray for the sick to be healed, literally pray for those prayers to be set free, literally to cast out demons, literally to be able to push back all the things that the enemy comes into your family, your life, and everything, then if you are not able to do that, then you are not in the kingdom of God, then you are powerless. Are you getting that? But you see, God gave us the authority to be able to do these things. And if you are not doing them, God is not about denomination. You tell me, which denomination is Jesus? Which denomination is God? I'm not knocking denominations, because if you don't put boundaries or denominations, some of us will just go crazy. Right? So denominations put us in good pockets so that we can behave well in certain ways, but sometimes we miss certain things, and sometimes we have certain things too. So let me move on here. I'm speaking to you in the church, and I'm speaking to you wider community. That powerless Christians are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. God only gives his power to those who have a relationship with him, to those who love him, those who obey him, and those who honor him. Do you love God? Do you obey God? Do you honor him? Hallelujah. So this year, ask yourself, do I really love God? People say, oh God, I love you, God, in my life, blah, 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 the hymn will go. But they really don't mean it, because it doesn't come from their heart. They don't obey God. They don't honor him. During the time of fasting, as we seek God, he deposits his power in us, because he knows that we need it to overcome temptations. He knows that we need that to overcome constant attacks of the enemy. He knows that we need that power to be able to be overcomers. We need that power to be able to tell certain things to shift and get out of our lives and get out of our way, so that we can attain our purpose and our destiny. We need that power to shift it. But that will come when you build that intimacy. That intimacy will come in your fasting and in your prayers. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we can pray routinely. That it makes is great. But certain times, you need more power. You need to get into another level. I want you to begin to see fasting in a different light from where you have seen it all the time. Some of you have never fasted before. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hand. Some of you don't even think it is necessary to fast. As I said, I've heard a big preacher say, it's not necessary for Christians to fast. And I'm thinking, did he not read scripture? But then perhaps the answer is, we don't know why we should and what is the purpose. You see, so what we are saying, that God will deposit his power in us so that we'll be able to overcome these things. We can say that our relationship with God and divine power are directly proportional. Our relationship with God and divine power are directly proportional. The closer you are to God, the more powerful or the more divine power you get. Amen? That is not reserved only for pastors or apostles or bishops or other people. It's reserved for every child of God. The closer you are to God, the bigger the divine power. They are directly proportional. The more relationship we have, the more power we have and we receive from God. Effectively, no relationship with God, no power. Amen? If you do not have a relationship with God, you have no power. You see, sometimes some Christians say, oh, Pastor Gideon, instead of preaching about people should come to salvation before God, of course I preach people should come to salvation because that's the greatest miracle that you have. But people become saved and their life is still messed about. They are saved and still they are struggling. They are saved and until they go to their grave, they are broken. They are hindered. What do? We do nothing because we are preaching salvation. Salvation is all-encompassing thing. It's holistic, right? So part of our salvation is for us to be saved because have you read in Isaiah 61, have you read in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit of the living God is upon me? Jesus Christ quoting the prophet that he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set captives free. Hang on a minute. To set captives free. Is this salvation? To open the prison for those who are oppressed. Is that salvation? To heal the sick. Is that salvation? To heal those who mourn and sit in Zion. That means who sit in the church. There are people who are mourning in the church. Their heart is broken from whatever, broken relationship. Abuse from childhood or from marriage. They are sitting in the church and they have lost loved ones and they are grieving. It's not their fault. They are sitting in the church and all sort of things are going on. They need inner healing, don't they? Jesus said, I came to heal those who are bruised. They are bruised. And these people, you touch them. When you have a bruise, you only have to touch the skin a little bit and the pain is there. So such people, sometimes you say something very little and they get upset. Or you say something little and they get offended. Something little and they get so sad. There's a bruise in there. Is that salvation? I'm teaching you something. I want you to wake up and know that Jesus Christ came to teach us these things. And when you read by verse 2, he said, I came to restore the broken walls of Jerusalem or the broken walls in Zion and all those places that have been broken over several generations. He said, I'm going to restore it. Jesus Christ is about restoration. So the message of the gospel is about restoration as well. Isn't that true? To repair the broken walls. Some walls are broken in your life. And God wants to repair. And we want to start this year I want to start with prayer and fasting to repair those broken walls. Hallelujah. Are you ready for your walls to be repaired this year? I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then you need power to do that. And fasting will get you close to God to have that power, that ability, that authority to understand scripture in a new way, in a new year, to be able to stand on your feet and command certain things to go. This year I really want certain things to shift in my life and to shift in this church. And nothing will stop us. Amen. Amen. You just sang that song, isn't it? Nothing will stop us. Did you just sing it because it is a nice song? Hello? You see, sometimes take care and take time to understand some of the songs that you sing. Otherwise, become a nice song everybody sings. So let me tell you, a little bit about fasting, and then I'll tell you about four purposes of fasting, and then we'll be done. Sure, I'm running out of time already. What kind of fasting may we practice? I'll be quick with this because in this church, most of you know. First, partial fasting. I'm telling you, forms of fasting, partial fasting. Partial fast is that this consists in eliminating certain foods and drinks from our daily diet. Daniel did this kind of fasting. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, he said, you know what? I don't want to eat any pleasant food. I don't want to eat those meat. I don't want to eat those oily food. I don't want to eat those, desserts. I don't want any of those, fried chicken and McDonald's and all those things. I cut them out. I just want to eat some porridge and some vegetables. So we call it Daniel's fast. Have you heard of it before? Because some of you have never fasted before, so you don't know about these things. I need to teach you. Daniel's fast. Now, the second one is total fast. This is not eating any solid food at all. Hear it. You're not eating any solid food at all, only liquids and water. This type of fasting can be extended to up to 40 days. You're not eating any solid food, just water and liquid. Elijah went without food for 40 days. You can see that in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 to 8. Because of time, I'm not going to read those verses, but I want you to pick it up, right? So you can scroll through for me, madam. You see, so Elijah went without food. He was a guy who at the time was fearful, was scared. Someone wanted to kill him. It's like coronavirus came in the first time, wanted to kill him. People were hiding under beds and everything. I said the virus couldn't come to that place. And then he went to sleep, and an angel came to touch him and said, get up and eat some food. Second time he touched him again. And then he said, now the journey that you are going is so far. And the Bible said he went and that food that he ate for 40 days. That is total fast. Then the final one I want to bring to your attention is absolute fast. This will mean not eating any type of food or drinks at all. That means not eating, not drinking at all. In the Bible, we see the Apostle Paul and Esther during the time of the exile period doing this for 3 days. And I've heard from a medical doctor many years back saying that if you want to do absolute fast, make sure you do it for 3 days. Not eating, not drinking. If you continue, you may pass out. That means you haven't been wise, have you? If you continue, then, as he said, there's no food in you, so what will happen is that your system will begin to eat of the fat that is in you. And soon, you find that you can't even walk. And sometimes some Christians want to be so spiritual that they're going to have absolute fat, no water, no food. They want to do it for, 90 days? They're liars. They will not survive. They will die. Serious. But let's concentrate on us and me. You see, so you do absolute fast for 3 days. However, Esther went through that, and of course, Apostle Paul went through Esther chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, you see that, and then Acts chapter 9, verse 9, you see that Apostle Paul went through absolute fast for 3 days. However, when God calls you to do a fast, and he actually proclaimed that fast for you, then you can continue absolute fast up to 40 days maximum. And the whole scripture that I've seen, I've never seen anybody fast more than 40 days. So that's why sometimes I worry when some people call some fast for longer than 40 days, because I'm thinking, which scripture are they reading? If you can't get your result in the first 3 days, then you are in trouble. The result will never come. Are you hearing it? If you can't get your result in 21 days, the result will never come. If you can't get it in 40 days, the result will never come. You can fast 1,000 days and you have no results. Are you with me? So it's not the length of time. But sometimes God gives us the leverage to proclaim, to prolong the time for a reason, so that he can work with us, so that he can work and take certain things out of us, certain characters, some issues, so that he can teach us, like he taught Moses on the Mount of Sinai. So Moses was an example. who did this type of absolute fasting, he did it twice when he went before God on the mountain for the commandment. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, that is the second time, it was clearly stated. The first time, the Bible says he was before God for 40 days. Second time, that's what he did. First time, God wrote it and gave him the tablet. Second time, he had to spend time to learn to write those things that God is detecting. So Jesus himself did absolute fast for 40 days on the wilderness before the beginning of his ministry. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So you can see where we are going, right? Am I teaching you something? I don't want you to go and do something silly. When we're doing these 21 days of fasting, I am not recommending that go and do absolute fast for 21 days. I am not. If God tells you, I would like to hear it. How God told you. So we give you clear guidelines. In the first week, you cut out something. By the second week, you are getting a little bit more used to it, so you cut out more. And the final week, you cut out even more. Isn't that so nice? That's nice, British way of fasting, right? I'm sure my African Caribbean people would tell me that you become too anglicized. But actually, I just want you to know that it's a good way to fast, especially for people who are not used to fasting. There's too much food in this economy. So what are some of the purposes of fasting? One, to humble ourselves before God. I'll race through this because time has run out for me. To humble ourselves before God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When you humble yourself, meaning when you fast, humble yourself also means when you fast, under the mighty hand of God, in due season, he will exalt you. That means when you fast, you receive power by the mighty hand of God. All believers need to regularly humble themselves before the Heavenly Father by acknowledging his sovereignty and greatness. Fasting is one of the fundamental ways in which we submit to God. When you are fasting, you don't engage in silliness. You'll be surprised how it changes you because your focus is with God. You want more of God. You are praying more. You are setting time aside to seek God's face. You are setting time aside and say, God, speak to me. You are receiving visions. You are dreaming some serious dreams. And you are doing things that will bring you closer to God. You are worshiping God. You are praising him. You set those times aside. Fasting is one of the fundamentals in which we submit to God. Being humble before God is a sign that we are totally dependent on him. We are totally dependent on him. Number two, what are some of the purposes? What the reason why we fasting? So that we will be prepared to respond to times that we live in. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. In the last days, difficult times will come. You see, where we are right now, just a difficult time. Wasn't it difficult 2 years ago? Isn't it still difficult even now? It is not normal to be sitting all over the place with, face masks and everything and washing your hands, social distance, doing all sort of things. It's not normal, is it? If you have your own way, you'd rather without a mask. But whatever it is, we are in difficult times. Some people are in fear of lockdown. In part of our country, it's as if the leaders are competing which one, who is going to do the lockdown first, who's going to, squeeze people first. It's as if they are in competition for that. They are not normal times. Hear it, we are not in normal times. And I cannot stop talking about these things because it is, abnormal time that we live in. And the Bible says that these times will come. We live in time that the satanic forces are influencing our society. We are facing illnesses that we have never seen before. Corruption that we have never seen before. Maybe in our country it's okay, but in certain places, the level of corruption is beyond redemption unless Jesus Christ comes. People are in bondage in our country. Discord and hopelessness are prevalent than ever before. We need to pray and fast to know how to cope with these things. We need to pray to know how to counteract these things. That means push back. We need to pray and fast to know how to overcome these things through the power of God. Simple prayers will not shift these things. We need to fast, because when we fast, our prayers are empowered. We get closer to God. And the closeness we get to God means more power to be able to deal with the sin, the things that are visible, and those things that are invisible. See, my Anglicanness is coming true. Now, third point. We need to fast. Or the purpose of fasting is to be able to face crisis. Or when a crisis comes, we'll be able to face it. There are certain things in your life for which you can easily obtain victory by praying. But there are other situations that are more difficult, that do not respond to daily prayer life, such as your regular prayer as you pray, or such as counseling, or even sometimes does not even respond to medical treatment. And if you are in this situation, to overcome such crisis, we must turn to breakthrough prayers and fasting, believing that God will give us the victory. That means as you fast and as you speak, as you mourn, as you weep, as you are determined to have more of God with you, God releases his power over you and give you the ability to be able to overcome that. My penultimate point that I want to bring to you is this. While we are fasting for 21 days to overcome the spirit of delay, I will explain that to you. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, we read, Daniel wrote this, said, I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth. Yet he was a prime minister. Because prime ministers, I mean, at the time, or governors, they lived good. Nor did I anoint myself at all. So 3 weeks were fulfilled. It says, for 21 days, I did not eat any pleasant food. I did not eat my favorite food. I did not drink any wine. Nothing came to my mouth at all. Because he needed a great breakthrough. He understood that the only way to achieve a radical change in his life was by way of fasting and praying. He prayed and he wanted God to reveal something to him. Something about the times that we live in. I preach about disappointment and discouragement, so I don't have to go over it. The end times. God was revealing something far ahead of him, thousands of years ahead of him, and he blew his mind and said, God, I want to understand. But as he prayed, he could not have a breakthrough. The answer was delayed. And I'm sure you've been praying about certain things. The answer has delayed all this while. You know what? There's a spirit behind it called the spirit of delay. Amen? Something is holding back. The spirit of delay is known as a demonic principality because it controls an area. In fact, in the account of Daniel, it said that the spirit of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. And Persia was a big area of 127 municipalities stretching from present-day Iran, Iraq, the whole of all the Afghanistan and all the stands covering all those areas, coming all the way to the Middle East, coming to Israel, coming to North Africa, and a whole chunk of Europe up to the boundaries of Greece. That was the kingdom of Persia. Powerful place, large territory, and a territorial spirit. Spirit of the kingdom of Persia was holding it. It's a spirit of delay. So you are dealing with something bigger than you think. When you've been praying about something for a long time, you're not giving an answer. The answer is that you are dealing with something bigger than you think, bigger than you anticipate. It's not those little prayers that you pray that will break through. You need to get on your knees for 21 days, like Daniel did, to have a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Are you going to do that this year? Yes. Thank you. I hear that. Let me finish the spirit of delay and then I'll speak on my last point and we stop. So then, if a demonic kingdom, a principality, whose purpose is to delay blessings and close doors to the children of God by fasting and praying, Daniel received the breakthrough he needed. The Lord sent his angel to fight against that spirit and defeated him. This teaches us that if we want to also see change, if we wanted to see things shift in our lives, if we wanted to have breakthroughs, we must fast and engage in spiritual warfare until that spirit releases blessings that has held on to. That spirit is holding the blessings for your life, the blessings for your family, the blessings for your church, blessings for your business, blessings for your jobs, blessings for your health. That spirit is holding it back, and we need to talk about these things. You see, church, we become so nice that we forget about these things that exist. The reason why I'm talking about this is my reality. I have learned and I've experienced these things certainly in the past 2-3 years. I've been a Christian for a long time. And my eyes being opened to, I'm thinking, wow, there are still some spirits of delay that I still need to deal with. This year, God is going to do it. Amen. So tell yourself that anything that is delaying your life, God is going to do it. Sometimes it delays our ministry, which we've been called on to, or the blessing for which we have been crying out to God. Finally, the purpose is to release the power of deliverance. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Always, each time I remember Isaiah, I remember that he was born, or he prophesied 700 years before the time of Christ. So always remember, long, long time. This is what he wrote in Isaiah 58, verse 6. It says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. It is not the fast that I've called. So these 21 days of prayer and fasting, God is calling us to a fast that will loosen the bond of wickedness. You see, it is wicked for someone, for whatever reason, to put an injunction on you, either in a curse, or by what they say, or by their action, and or by their whatever they do to prevent you from progressing, not because you've done anything wrong, but just that the person doesn't want you to go forward. That is wickedness. So it says, I want to loosen the bond of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. Sometimes some of us, we are shackled, we are burdened. Each time we get up, we are thinking so deep about something. How are we going to eat? How are we going to, how our children is going to be doing this? How this is going to happen? How are we going to go through that? How the situation in my workplace is going to change? These are heavy burdens. It's on your back, it's weighing you down. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Matthew 11:29, I will give you rest. For his burden is easy. So the fast that God is calling us is to undo heavy burdens that you are carrying, but also to undo the heavy burdens on other people. That's what God is asking us to do. To let the oppressed go free. People are mentally oppressed. You think these 2 years that we've gone through this virus, many people are not mentally oppressed? Psychologists are saying that. That there's been an unleash of mental illnesses. Some people have taken their lives. We're not used to being caged in rooms. We're not used to being restricted in this way. It messes your life up. Some are still living in fear, emotional and mental messing up. These are oppressions. Let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Yoke is anything that will weigh you down. Do you feel weighed down today? Or do you feel elated? What are you being weighed down for? There are bonds in people's lives that can only be broken through fasting and prayer. Bonds of fear, bonds of depression, bonds of addiction, bonds of mental torment, bonds of curses, bonds of sicknesses, or certain kinds of sicknesses, and many more. By combining fasting with prayer, God will free us from all demonic oppression. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We end in this message. Do you want to be free from this? Can I have the music people to come up quickly, please? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Can we get stand up, church? I don't know what has hit your heart. I don't know what has challenged you. I don't know what. But are you going to get into this spiritual time of fasting to receive power to overcome things? Are you willing? Are you ready? Are you ready to humble yourself before God so that He may lay His power upon you? If this is true, then I want you to pray for yourself right now and say, God, oh, I'm so sorry that I've never taken this fasting thing serious. But I'm so sorry that I didn't even know this. But today, I want to make myself available. Maybe I was thinking, oh, 21 days of fasting again. Yes. But now I know that I need to, because it's going to prepare me for adversity. We don't know what is ahead. We need to be set free. Please talk to God by yourself. You know your story. And as you are praying, make a commitment to God that, God, there's 21 days of prayer and fasting starting today. At least you may decide to commit yourself to part of it. Or more so, all of it. Ask God and tell God, God, I want to be part of this. Even if I have to fast a day, a week, maybe 2 days, 3 days a week, I will do it. Not for Pastor Gideon, not for South Street Baptist Church, not for its leadership, but for myself. For your own sake. And if you are, I'm going to pray for you right now. If you've made this prayer, I'm going to pray for you right now. You've humbled yourself. If you ask God that you want to be part of this, be part of this congregational fast, I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray. And right now I pray over your people, and I pray against any spirit of delay in their lives. I pray against any spirit of delay, Father God, in their ministry, in their family. I pray against any spirit of delay in our church, in any form of ministry. I pray against that. And today, we serve the enemy, notice, in the power of the resurrected Christ, that today our freedom is coming. Today our freedom is starting. Today our freedom is here in the name of Jesus. Father God, today I'm praying against any temptation. The devil tempted Jesus on the wilderness. And Father God, this new year that has started, there will be so many temptations, and Father God, over your people. And as we go through these 21 days of fasting, we are preparing ourselves, and I'm preparing these people in the name of Jesus, that they will be able to go through those times in Jesus' name, that they will not fall into temptation, but they will be delivered from people, from all evil. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Now, if anyone here with any form of fear, just raise up your hand. It's not a shame to say there's some fear in your heart. And I'm going to pray for you. Fear of anything. It can be even spiders or flies. But some fear in your heart, that makes you anxious sometimes. Father, in the name of Jesus, today I rebuke the spirit of fear. Father God, you said you have not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I pray for power for you over your people. I pray for love over your people. I pray for sound mind over your people in the name of Jesus. I cast out every spirit of fear from their bodies, fear from their minds, fear from their emotions. I cast it out in Jesus' name. And Father God, anyone suffering from spirit of depression or addiction right now, I set that person free. I set them free from mental torment in Jesus' name. Any curse that is resting upon anyone, upon this church, or upon any ministry, or upon your ministries, upon your calling, upon your children, today I break that through. I break through that in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ bore all our curses upon himself. He took it upon himself, and therefore you will not have to walk under any curse. Today I set you free. I set you free by the resurrected power of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, be free from those curses. I just want you to know the curses are real. If you don't believe, you look at the pattern in your family, pattern in your life, and the thing that recurs, and you can't break through. They are words that are supernaturally charged with evil to hinder you. That's what I'm breaking through in Jesus' name. And today I release the power of God upon you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.